want to start out with a question for you to ponder. How did Jesus know the will of the Father? I hear some chuckles. You know, that wasn't an opening joke, but I guess it can be funny. You know, one thing that I would propose to you, Philippians 2 goes into this about Jesus emptying himself, not viewing equality with God as something to be grasped. He humbled himself unto the point of death. That while he was God and always was God here on this earth, he lived life as a man, limited himself as a human. And something that we see throughout the gospel, Luke 5:16 says that he often went away to pray. And I would suggest to you this morning that, we talked last week about, what did we talk about last week? Rejoicing always. We're going to talk next week. You probably see where this is going in a minute, and you can actually turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 if you like. But this morning, one of these neglected spiritual Christian duties, as commanded in Scripture, is to pray without ceasing. And I think Jesus had this heart, and he understood not only the complexity and the intricacies of it, but the power and the effectiveness behind it. Really, that's a whole sermon there. We're not going down that road this morning, but I want you to understand, if Jesus, the Son of God, often made a habit of prayer, Jensen Franklin says this about prayer. Prayer is that holy communication with heaven that creates an atmosphere for God's presence. And the devil's python strategy is to stop or hinder that communication. Our greatest weapon is prayer. Prayer is the power on earth that moves the power in heaven. I like that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You can probably quote these. By the end of next week, you probably will. Nice short verses. If you're getting rewarded for how many verses you can memorize, 1 Thessalonians is a great place to start. 16, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Continually pray. Don't stop praying. Pray without ceasing. The Greek is pray without intermission. Some of you can't make it through a 2.5-hour movie without taking a bathroom break. Some of you can't make it through a 3-hour pray without a bathroom break or to stretch your legs. So they have these things called intermission. The command is pray without taking intermission. Without allowing prayerless gaps to intervene between the times of prayer. This is a theme all throughout the Bible, particularly in the New Testament. Paul says in Romans 12:12, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In every situation. I love the absolutes in Greek because guess what? It carries over into English. Every means every. All means all. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. How many of you feel devoted to prayer? 1 Timothy 2:1-2, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Do you know something? That intercession is not just praying a lot. I think we have this wrong idea. We say, oh, well, there's, prayer, and then there's intercession. Intercession is when you pray for a long period of time. And you know, one of the definitions for intercession is actually to stand in their shoes, is to take the yoke upon yourself of what they're experiencing. Say, Louie's going through something. If I'm going to intercede for Louie in this situation, I'm going to pray that God gives me a revelation of exactly what he's going through. I'm going to request that this yoke and burden be on me, that we could share it as brothers in Christ. And I would begin to pray in the very same way that Louie could pray if he wasn't downcast and trodden down. I would begin to take this yoke and lift him up and say, God, I now experience, I'm seeing, I can see. And we share that prayer together. That is true intercession. But you know what? I think there's this lie of church doctrine that's been going around of what intercession is. How many of you have heard the term, probably even used it? I confess I have too. Heard of a gifted intercessor, or that person has the gift of intercession, right? I've said it. But last time I checked in the scripture, there was no gift of prayer listed, was there? What are the gifts? Tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, healing, faith, effecting of miracles. Roman adds to that a few things. It says teaching, exhortation, giving, serving. See, maybe that person is not gifted in prayer. Maybe they're just more spiritually mature than you. It's the big one, Elizabeth. I watched every episode of Sanford and Son. I grew up on TV land. It was the only thing allowed in our house. Now, it's true that some people may be more available to pray, stop during the day than others. But just as some people are in a position to give more than others monetarily, let's not kid ourselves into thinking that prayer for extended periods of time is only for a select few and you must be gifted in this role in order to be able to do it. I think we have this perception that, oh, well, my gift isn't in prayer. That's not for me. You know, I know that Louie person is really gifted in prayer. I know the Knolls are really gifted in prayer. I'm not there. You know what? My gift is in serving. My gift is in giving. And we kind of push off the priority of prayer meetings. We say, well, that's not for me. But what does the word say? Pray without ceasing. It doesn't have this caveat, pray without ceasing, parenthesis, if you're gifted. It doesn't say pray without ceasing if you feel like, pray without ceasing if you have time, pray without ceasing if you're really old and you can stay at home. It doesn't say pray without ceasing because you want to. It says pray without ceasing, period. Is without ceasing literal? Well, first I would point out in Greek that this term without ceasing is used elsewhere in the Bible figuratively. I want to just point this out and be fair. Romans 1:9 says, "For God, whom I serve in my spirit, in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you." So Paul is talking to the Romans about how often he talks to the Romans to other Christians. He's saying, I talk unceasingly about it. Does that mean that Paul literally every breath out of his mouth was speaking about the Romans everywhere he went? No, I don't believe it's always literal. So without ceasing doesn't necessarily mean that we literally have to be speaking prayers every minute in our audible English language in the day. But I will get to another interpretation that I believe will satisfy these conditions and the command of pray without ceasing. Because there's a truth here, there's a reality that I think we fall far short if we were honest. Let's pray. I'm surprised how many people didn't bow their heads. You know what's interesting? Why is it that when we say, let's pray, oftentimes, we'll bow our heads, close our eyes. Some of you grew up in a really traditional church, fold your hands. Some of you reach over for your spouse's hand. I just like to hold you, honey. Is it because there's a verse in the Bible that says, here's how you pray, and it has this little diagram, it shows this cute little boy, and he's the prescient moment kid, and he's, you know, doing this? Is that the spiritual climax of prayer? No, you're not going to find that verse. Is it because your mother said, bow your head and fold your hands and close your eyes? Probably, but where did she learn it? Probably from her mom. How many generations do you go back? I suppose if you go back far enough, bowing your head was a sign of respect. And I don't know where the folding of hands and closing the eyes came from, but unless it was just to keep the kids in the pews from hitting themselves or hitting each other. Probably don't hit yourselves. I don't think most kids do that. Kneeling is really big in some churches, but a lot of these traditions have just become so rote that they've lost all their meaning. You know what? In the Bible, there are examples of people praying, not just while they're kneeling, but while they're standing, while they're sitting, and guess what? Even while they're lying down. Woo, that's so disrespectful up in here. There are no verses that talk about folding your hands. But guess what? There are verses that talk about raising your hands. There's no verses that say close your eyes, but guess what? There's lots of verses that talk about looking up toward heaven. Yet these habits are so ingrained in us and so meaningless that we don't even usually talk or think about them at all. You hear this word pray, and guess what? You go into prayer mode. We have these kind of fancy keywords, don't we? We say, dear Heavenly Father, you can try this. You know, you can go into a place or a house, and if you speak loud enough, get everyone's attention, you say, dear Heavenly Father, everyone will, what is that? That's prayer mode. And we got these code words when it's finished, right? Amen. What happens if I were to pray, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the service, open your word to us. Then I go on to something else. Some of you would be like, is he done? What I'm suggesting to us this morning is not that there's anything wrong with kneeling, bowing, closing your eyes, folding your hands, or saying amen. Starting your prayers with our Heavenly Father, dear Heavenly Father, Father God. What I'm saying is that many of these things we do by tradition or rote without any meaning, without any sincerity, and we don't take the time to stop and think about what we're doing and why we're doing it, and this is exactly what prayer is supposed to be. It's intentional. It's thoughtful. It's meaningful words and actions that are directed to God the Father, not recitation. Not say this prayer exactly like this and God's going to fulfill the request. He looks at the heart behind it. And if you're doing something out of tradition, okay, pastor said pray, then what good is that? So I want this morning to distinguish between the act of prayer and what I'm referring to as prayer mode. I want to distinguish that with the state of prayer. I think most of us divide our day into two portions. It's prayer time and non-prayer time. Is that true? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes. Maybe some of you spiritual saints are, you know, an hour long of prayer. This is when we pray for all the stuff that we want, for all the unsaved family members. We say our amen. We go on to non-prayer mode, right? During times of trial or fasting, we beef up this amount of prayer time. Maybe it's, you know, 2 hours. Say, wow, I'm really going through it now, Lord. Amen. One person I know advocated tithing time. You know, 10% of your day is given to the Lord. He would, you know, say 2 hours and 40 minutes, but really that math is wrong. It's 2 hours and 24 minutes. Some of you are going to try and see if I'm right. It's right. But you know what? There are still nearly 22 hours in a day not spent in prayer. How could this be considered praying without ceasing? So when the Bible says to pray without ceasing, it's not referring to nonstop talking, but rather I believe it's an attitude of God consciousness and God surrender that we carry with us all the time. It's being aware of God's holy, that He's always listening, that every situation, every action, every person we cross paths with, everywhere you're going is an opportunity to pray. You see, It's possible to keep your mind consciously on God's presence. Perhaps this is what the psalmist meant when he declared in 34:1. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises will continually be in my mouth. And I would suggest this morning that the state of prayer is to be a way of life, that we should continually be in an attitude of prayer. It's living with continual God awareness, where everything you see, everything you experience becomes a type or a certain prayer. I remember when I was in college, I received this revelation. Instead of just walking to class, I would pass somebody on the sidewalk. And I was so aware of God's presence during this time in my life that he revealed to me, don't just pass that person, don't just smile at them, don't even just say hi, pray for them. And I'm not just talking about the people on crutches. It's a great start. You hear some sirens, we throw up a Hail Mary prayer, right? I'm talking being so aware of God that he cares for us and meets our needs, that every single opportunity we have is a prayer. You sit down in class. Lord, I thank you for this professor. May he get a revelation of who you are. Lord, I thank you for my neighbor sitting to my right. Will they understand? May I have an opportunity to share your son, Jesus Christ, with them. Lord, I thank you for that person that just tailgated me. Father, bless them with a speeding ticket. No, I'm kidding. I must admit that I'm not where I should be in this, but I will confess from personal experience that it is truly possible to be in a state of prayer 24 hours a day. You know, there's even a reality which I wasn't planning on talking about. Solomon, you guys are probably familiar with the story. When he's a young boy, he inherits the kingdom and God visits him at night, and he asks him what he desires, and he asks for wisdom, because he asked for wisdom and not for blessing and all of these finances and resources. God gave him all of it. Then it says at the end, he woke up from the dream. Do you know there's a spiritual reality here? That even while you're sleeping, God honors your prayer and your spirit talking and communicating with him. Now, I'm not saying if you had Taco Bell the night before you went to bed and you've got these crazy dreams, you know, God's going to have this like pinata attacking you at night. He might. What I'm suggesting is that when we're in a spirit and an attitude of prayer without ceasing, is that we will actually go to bed dwelling on God the Father in his presence in the spiritual reality that is all around us. We have such blinders on. We see things in the natural world. But God said his kingdom's not of this world. And we need these spiritual eyes to see, and even while we're sleeping, it's the Spirit within us is communicating with the Father, and he will reveal things to you even while you're sleeping. All that said, I want to delve into another spiritual reality about this command to pray without ceasing, and I believe this is true. A state of prayer is that this prayer mode never turns off. It's possible. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. There's a lot of absolutes in this verse. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and request. With this in mind, be alert and always keeping on prayer for all the Lord's people. Who knows the context of this chapter? I'm looking to some of my exegetes. What are the preceding verses? Armor of God. We're quick to pick up our sword. Yes, praise God, I love my sword. I can't go anywhere without it. Met somebody on the hospital elevator. She said, that's a good book. I said, I can't go anywhere without it. She said, I've never read it. She meant all the way through. I say, you know what? There's grace. I'd really encourage you to see what God has to say. get familiar with your sword. We wrap the truth around our waist. We shod our feet in peace. We take up the breastplate of righteousness. We put the helmet of salvation on. We say, woohoo, I'm ready for battle. Next verse, pray at all times. Ooh, we don't like that part. I thought I just had to be clothed in righteousness and faith and peace and you know, have the Spirit with me and taking up the shield of faith, and that was it. No. 6:18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. You want to see the key to success in the spiritual battlefield? Pray in the Spirit at all times. Now, not only is this prayer essential at all times as part of our spiritual warfare, but this verse teaches us another thing about spiritual prayer. It is the Spirit within us that we are able to pray on all occasions. Some of you don't like where this is going. I do. There's an exhortation in Scripture, these lost chapters of the Greek languages we like to throw out, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Well, 13, 1 through 8 is good. We don't like the rest of it. Paul says, I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the mind. I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the mind also. 1 Corinthians 14, 15. So we are to both pray and sing, not only with our mind. Let me show you practically what that looks like. We're singing the words on the screen. That's with our mind. We can also pray in the Spirit, what the Lord puts figuratively in your heart or in your spirit, whatever comes out of you, and you just begin to open your mouth and sing to God the Father. That's praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit. You can do this with prayer also. And I would encourage you to really look at this. I've got some great booklets called Why Tongues, if you'd like to know more about it. I'm just going to give you a quick survey this morning. Praying in the Spirit is powerful. It's enjoyable. However, many people misunderstand the purpose of the gift of tongues in the Scriptures that describe it. In 1 Corinthians, you're welcome to turn there. I'm just going to hit a couple verses this morning. I'm going to read them quickly and not wait for you. 14:18, Paul writes, I thank God that I speak tongues more than you all. And it's this verse that Mike Bickle, who's heard of Mike Bickle? Nobody? A couple. IHOP Kansas City. He started the 24-hour prayer room in Kansas City. He did not always believe in tongues, but it was this verse he kept coming back to. It said, Paul says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than you all. Why is Paul thankful that he speaks in tongues so much? All of you that have all these verses to refute everything about tongues, let me just dwell on that question. Dwell on it. Why was Paul so thankful? He was a busy man, wasn't he? Look at all the things in his life. He was busy making tents. He was busy in prison. He was busy getting beat up. He was busy getting shipwrecked. He was busy, you know, healing people and talking in the synagogues about Jesus Christ. Why is it that he spent so much time speaking in tongues? And I would say to you this morning that there are two different types of the gift of tongues, the way I see Scripture. The first is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's the gift of tongues for the corporate body. There must be an interpretation that follows in order for there to be edification. Paul even talks later in Corinthians about how this is to happen, is that at the most three, and if there's no interpretation, that person must be silent. And he's speaking about in the corporate setting, and this tongue needs to be heard by other people, okay? It's for the corporate body. It edifies the church. It's similar to prophecy in a sense that way. And let's be clear. Paul says that not all believers have this gift. He says in verse 30 of chapter 12, do all speak with tongues? Again, corporate tongues. Yet in chapter 14, he says, I wish you all spoke with tongues. Why is this apparent conflict? Because he's talking about two different things here. Talking about the corporate setting and the personal. And there's a difference between the gift of tongues that is given to the prophet of the corporate body and when a speaker speaks to men and the gift of tongues given to us or is available to us all as a devotional prayer language for the profit of the individual who speaks it. And this is how he says that I can pray and sing with my spirit as I sing with my and pray with my mind. So this second type of tongues is a personal prayer language. It edifies the person who's speaking it. And this is what Paul's referring to when he says in verse 18, he says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. The edification is interpretation for the speaker's own use. Now, why are we talking about all of this? This is really off topic, isn't it? No, it's not. Ephesians 6:18. Pray in the Spirit at all times. Because it's important to be in a state of prayer, and it is by this personal prayer tongue that Paul used frequently, I believe, that he's praying to God in the Spirit, Ephesians 6:18. This allowed him and us to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. To pray without ceasing. Side note, for those that are skeptics or looking at me crazy, I want you to just look at this verse and study it on your own. Jesus included speaking in tongues as one of the signs that would follow those who believe in his name. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. In my name, they will blank, blank, blank and speak in new tongues. Now there's this third related piece to praying without ceasing and praying in the Spirit, and this is found in Romans 8:26. This is why I've gone down this road, and I want to just quickly point you to this verse in Romans 8:26. It says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, that's with our mind, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The Amplified pulls this out in a beautiful way. But I want to take you to the Greek. I like Greek, not Greek yogurt. I'm going to give you some Greek pita this morning. I like pita bread. This word intercede is not the same. It's the same in a sense as standing in the shoes and praying and making supplication on someone's behalf. But guess what? In Greek, it's actually much richer. It's hyper intercession, above and beyond intercession. The Holy Spirit is actually interceding above the intercession. And guess what? Strong says intercession is to hit the mark of discharging a javelin or an arrow. Now, I'd ask for my scholars in this room, what word is often defined as to miss the mark? Sin. Sin means to miss the mark. The Holy Spirit's hyper hits the mark. It's when in the moment we don't know how to pray, we're not sure what to pray, that the Holy Spirit comes alongside and he hyper-intercesses for us. He hits the mark, but not only with bullseye accuracy, he does it repeatedly over and over and over again. He does it with such a tremendous force and power that that mark is knocked over. It goes through the next room because that's how the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. It's not some dangly arrow that falls short of the target. It's not even just an arrow that hits the target. It hits it with such power and precision. Hyper intercession. This is what the Lord showed me this week. Quickly, I want to shift off topic to encourage you a bit. Are there rewards to prayer? Matthew 6 alludes to this. If you pray in public, you bring attention to your name, guess what? You have your reward in full. So there's this. We can infer from this that there's some level of reward. What might that reward be? Now, I think, at least in part, what that reward might be is that God is going to hear our prayer and answer it. But does God hear every prayer? Why are we asking such deep questions this morning? to get you to think. Everyone's scared to answer because they're thinking, that's a trick question. You might be right. James 1 says that if we doubt, he's not going to listen to us. James 4 says that if we ask anything with the wrong motives, he's not going to listen to us. 1 Peter 3 says, if I don't honor my wife, then my prayers are going to be hindered. He says in Amos, he says, I don't even want to hear the noise of your prayers and your fasting. It does nothing for me. In Isaiah 58, he says, I don't care if you don't care for the poor. It doesn't matter if you're fasting and praying. I'm not listening to you. He says, if my people would seek my face, humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways. See, there's conditions to prayer. Then what? I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We talked a little bit about this in Sunday school this morning. There's a piece and an element to repentance and effective prayer. And here we are, we're praying for a fresh outpouring, but I just want to ask you a pointed question this morning. How many of you have gotten right in this fast? How many of you get right every time you come before the Lord in prayer? How many of you get right each and every day when you wake up? You say, God, may I seek your face. May I humble myself. May I turn from all my wickedness and pray that you would heal my land. Or do we just come to God and we just flippantly say, God, I want you to heal our nation. Man, there's a lot of hurt, Lord. Provide for me, God. I'm struggling financially. I need a physical touch. You know, that'll preach, I think. I mean, there's conditions. He doesn't listen to every prayer, but guess what? He listens to me. I hope he listens to you. Get right with God. Turn to 1 John chapter 5 this morning. Turn to Revelation and turn left. I promise you'll find it. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to close out with two verses. Verse 14. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Does God hear our prayers? He does if you're asking according to his will. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. You know, there's a deep, deep truth in this. I'd love to linger here for some time. Maybe we'll revisit it. Stop trying to get stuff from God. Start trying to pray according to his will. Because guess what? If it's in his will, he not only hears you, but 15 says, it's already been given to you. God is such a gracious, giving Father. He's such a God of abundance is that if you would just pray according to his will, it's already been given. Get your eyes off of your needs and focus on what God wants. And this is a tremendous blessing. If we're praying according to God's will, then we have the confidence that he's hearing us. We have the confidence that if he's hearing us, we know that the answer to what we've already been praying has been met. Well, how do we know if we're praying according to the will of God? Well, one of the primary ways is to study the prayers and the Word of God that are recorded in the Bible. And if we pray in accordance with these prayers, then it's automatically following suit of God's will. It's under his covenant, his promises, and his blessing. And there's some things that come up in our lives when we don't know how to pray. It's coming full circle, isn't it? That's when the Holy Spirit comes with his hyper-intercession on our behalf. We have the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, and he teaches us to pray the things that are in line with God the Father. Guess what? You don't have the Holy Spirit operating in your life. You're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. Because that's how I know that I'm praying according to God's will. And I hope you can rely on that too. Now, this is not a message of condemnation of you know what, if you don't have a spirit, then you don't believe in the spirit, then your prayers are useless. What I'm trying to get you to realize this morning is that God has given us this free gift of eternal life and salvation, but guess what? He's also given us the promise of a Holy Spirit who can come and help us and teach us how to pray so that all of our needs might be met because we pray in line with God's will. This is the beauty of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't believe or know or have never experienced praying in tongues and praying in your mind and your spirit also at the same time, this is the fullness of it. I don't know how many of you have never experienced it, how many of you are interested in it, but you know what? We're done with service today. I'd like you to go back to the prayer room. We're going to baptize in the new spirit if you want it. I'm going to leave you with this last verse. This is Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." There's a great truth. I know that the name it, claim it, maybe says blab it, grab it group has abused some doctrine, but you know what? If you dig down, there's a lot of truth in it. If we would just get a hold of God's heart and vision for our lives, and guess what? I'm not talking about you're going to live in mansions. What I'm saying is God's desire is for you to prosper, to live in wholeness of health. Mark tells us, if we believe it, it will be ours. Church, I'm going to ask this morning that each and every one of us would check our lives and realize that we need to get back to faithful prayers. Faith, F-U-L-L. May we be filled with faith and believing that God has already commissioned and done things in our life. Curtis, would you come up and just play on the piano? I want you to know something this morning, that God not only commands us to be praying without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, but really be encouraged this morning, because prayer doesn't fall on deaf ears. Now I'm going to go on a limb,